This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from the Mayor's Office of East Baton Rouge Parish, and the show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Your number for Friday politics on WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge is 877-217-5757. And our email address is talk@talklouisiana.org. In a few moments, we are slated to hear from Lieutenant Governor William Harold Nungesser, son of the former longtime Republican Party chief Billy Nungesser. And Billy Nungesser II will comment about many matters, including tourism. That was why he was scheduled to be with us. It was a record year. But he also is a politico and the leader of the Republican Party. Donald John Trump, the former president, twice and now soon to be third time the nominee of his party, will be going before a court on July 11th, a judge, Juan Merchant, in New York, and could be sentenced to jail. Also, later in the hour, we will hear from Jim Brown, who was tried in federal court in Louisiana 23 years ago, was found not guilty on 52 counts, guilty on one, and he ended up serving 6 months in jail for, quote, lying to an FBI agent. And Jim Brown wrote a book about it, best-selling book, Justice Denied. He'll talk about the justice system and about the peril of politicos who occasionally have people peeking in their windows to see what's going on in their world. And in Donald Trump's case, we found out a lot about what's going on in his financial world and in his personal odyssey. And the star witness was none other than Stormy Daniels, the former Stephanie Gregory Clifford, born March 17, 1979, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And as mentioned, Billy Nungesser is here to talk about largely other matters, and he has done his best to stay out of the political fray. Remember back in 2019, actually, when John Bel Edwards was running for re-election, Donald Trump came to Louisiana three times to campaign against John Bel Edwards, and Billy Nungesser was the only Republican who stayed away because he felt it was a case in which he works with the governor and he didn't want to pounce on the guy he might be working with for another 4 years, and that's exactly what happened. John Bel Edwards won re-election in a state where Donald Trump has won by more than 400,000 votes once and 399,000 another time. So he is wildly popular in Louisiana, has received more votes than any candidate in the history of the state. And he will likely get lots of votes and carry our state again, no matter what happens in any courtroom in America. But before we get to the rosy tourism numbers, Billy Nungesser, I think most of us would agree that yesterday was a somber day for our country.
It really is. You know, I spent 16 days overseas promoting tourism, and all anybody wanted to talk about in the political arena was Donald Trump and his, you know, whether he was going to win, whether he was going to go to jail. And it's not good for the country at all. And it is unfortunate.
You were in Europe making the case that Louisiana is a great place to visit. And last year, the numbers were exceptional. And I looked, you know, you throw out these numbers and they're like 43 million. That's a lot of people. And I looked and that was more visitors than the state of Nevada received, than the state of Georgia. It really is a success story. Is Louisiana, despite all of our flaws, which sometimes we emphasize, is it still a prime tourist destination?
It really is. You know, we've got great partners all over the state, the Convention and Visitor Bureaus, the Restaurant Association, all of these groups that have such love and passion for Louisiana that make visitors visit special. And, you know, our numbers before COVID was so good on international travelers. For the first time ever, Louisiana received $300,000 grant for the next 3 years to go to three new international markets. That's $900,000. So that's why we will be going to India. We went to Spain. And this is going to give us an opportunity to really grow tourism in three new markets. And the international visitors stay longer, spend more money. And they don't just go to New Orleans. They want to see other parts of the state. So it's a great opportunity to get visitors all over Louisiana.
I recall former Governor Romer mentioning that a Japanese consul he was talking with said he had never been to Louisiana. And he said, well, have you ever been to New Orleans? Oh, I've been many times. And that's the nature of the beast. New Orleans drives the boat for Louisiana's tourism industry. How substantial is it? Those 43 million, how many of them went to New Orleans, Lieutenant Governor?
Well, we don't have New Orleans's numbers yet. And when we get each city's numbers, we try to break it out. Their numbers will be out in a few days to see if their numbers are up or down. Several states, Florida, Alabama, actually saw a decrease. So we've really hit it out the park. The thing we're most proud of is a 16.9% increase in international visitors. But we do have our challenges. Jim, I'm telling you, a lot of the questions from these travel writers and tour operators are concerned about the crime. They hear New Orleans is it's dirty. What new attractions do we have coming? So when we started many years ago promoting Mardi Gras all over Louisiana and events, 400 fairs and festivals, we got to make sure New Orleans cleans up its act because it does affect the rest of the state. And I'm hoping they can get it done before the Super Bowl, because it's either going to be a shining star for us or a black eye if we don't get it cleaned up.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And we will go to the phone lines and take a call or two or three, but if depending on our time with him. But a good question online about the tourism numbers in Louisiana. And as mentioned, we're higher than Georgia. We're higher than Nevada. The states generally that have more tourists are people like states like Florida and California, which are much larger. California, if you look per capita, is actually a little bit lower than Louisiana. So it remains a prime tourist destination. But as we know, and the Lieutenant Governor just mentioned, we get a lot of publicity that's not favorable. Does this impact tourism adversely, or is this just something that is par for the course?
Well, other cities deal with it too. And, you know, just like when we took over Keep Louisiana Beautiful 2 years ago, we're on a mission to clean up the state. That is something that's important to our quality of life plus tourists. But it absolutely affects it. Unfortunately, I get more emails and letters from people that say, I'm never going back to New Orleans because of the homeless, the pandering on the corners, the dirtiness, people half naked on the street. I mean, these are emails and letters we get of people that say they're never coming back. And the best asset we have in Louisiana, it's our people. When people leave here, they leave with a friend for life and they keep coming back. And the best advertising we have is the people that come here because we treat them so nicely. And to have people leaving unhappy with what they see, it does have a negative effect. We have to overcome that with these events we do all over the world. And hopefully we can get New Orleans cleaned up and on the right track, get some new attractions, and make it the competitive city it ought to be to like Nashville and places like that. You know, we need to get the French Quarter back into luring visitors that spend money there, get some of these places that are not attracting the right crowds back to live music. But it's going to have to take a real leaning forward approach to cleaning it up and making it safe and making it attractive again.
All right. Please be brief in your remarks with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. Aaron in New Orleans. Hello, Aaron. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes. Hello. And hello to the Lieutenant Governor. My question is also to do with the tourism issue in the French Quarter. There is a crisis as far as the number of police officers. Someone calls 911, no one shows up, or they may show up 7 hours later. There is a shortage of EMS workers where you're waiting for EMS to show up for an extended period of time. And so my question to the Lieutenant Governor is, do you owe a moral duty to tell people who are coming here about these problems before they actually come, or do you want to let them just find out about it once they show up?
No, well, we have an honest discussion about the safety issues of New Orleans. That's why we proposed a plan to the mayor to take the French Quarter and manage it separately, kind of as a state park district, put park rangers on every corner, fix all the street lights in the streets, put a bank of cameras in the headquarters, get that response time to what it needs to be so our visitors and our residents felt safe. Most Louisianans that I know don't go to the French Quarter anymore because they don't feel safe. But we made that proposal to the mayor. We failed on it. It's not off the table. Hopefully, we can have that discussion again because there's not enough people live in the quarter for that I believe the city will ever make it a priority that it ought to be, like they did in San Diego with the gas lamp district, like they've done in Nashville. It needs to be managed as a prime tourism destination, making it a shining star for the state. If the French Quarter was what it used to be, those tourism numbers would be through the roof, but we need to manage it separately where it's an important asset to the state.
We will take a break of 89.9 seconds or 89.3, depending on where you are, and back with Billy Nungesser shortly. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And if you've read any newspaper in the world today, the story above the fold, usually with a photo of the former president, who will be 78 years old on the 14th of June, Trump convicted. That's how the Wall Street Journal frames it. New York jury in hush money case finds former president guilty on all 34 counts in historic verdict. We'll be talking with Jim Brown about this, who's a lawyer who also faced a sensational trial. He was acquitted on 52 of 53 counts, unlike Donald Trump, who was convicted on 34 of 34. But we'll get Jim Brown's view of what's going on. But Jim Brown is allowing Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser to opine, one of the most energetic warriors in Louisiana politics. And let's go to Philip in New Orleans. Philip, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, hi. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor. My question was along the lines of Trump's. Good morning. My question was along the lines of Trump's conviction, and I didn't really hear what you had to say about it when you first started the program because I was calling in. But I think you alluded to it not being such a good thing for the nation, and I hear people saying that it's a somber event. But to me, it's sort of like I'm wondering. From the angle of a point of the judicial system or the system of law and order that we have working on a basic level, is this a bad thing for the country?
All right. What about Philip's concern?
Yeah, it's not good news, you know. And I said all along, I endorsed Nikki Haley early on because I felt like there's so much out there. And I just think the Republican Party is going to have a tough time in this go round because of all the negative that goes with Donald Trump. And that's my personal opinion. And I feel like it's going to hurt our shot in Congress, in the House, and the Senate, having the toughest road to victory. And so this is just another thing that doesn't help the Republican cause of the Republican Party.
Paul Anopoulosis, please be brief. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Governor. Good morning, Jim. Just a change of pace, change of subject. Keon Coleman, one of the best advertisements we had for the state of Louisiana, aside from the governor, in a long time. When do we plan to go to Buffalo and make a gumbo? Thank you, sir.
Well, listen, we'll be glad to do that. Gumbo's been a big seller. We actually had a dinner at the ambassador's residence in Madrid and had 100 travel writers. And we brought over Samantha Carroll, great Louisiana chef, and she cooked gumbo. She made beignets, and we stole everybody's heart with great Louisiana seafood all the way in Madrid, Spain. So it's that gumbo that gets people coming here. So thanks for those comments, my friend.
James and Harvey. James. By the way, James Harvey Brown is on deck, but James in Harvey, you're on with William Harold Nungesser.
Yes, sir. Lieutenant Governor, you're doing a wonderful job. But I want to put something in front of you that I don't know if you guys have thought about. Because you keep saying clean up Louisiana, especially in New Orleans. But what are we doing to environmentally take care of all this extra trash we're going to get from more people in the state, more waste? What are we doing to make sure that that's environmentally done away with?
Yeah, that's a big question, and you know, obviously that is not under my office. But one of the things we've done on some of the dumps and cleanup areas through Keep Louisiana Beautiful is we've bought cameras for a lot of the illegal dumping sites, and you'll see. Actually, there's a couple news stories this past week about them catching people illegal dumping because of those cameras. And I think enforcing the laws, increasing the fines and penalties is going to help us to discourage some of that illegal dumping because it has been out of control for a long time. And hopefully we're asking for some new fees this year to grow our budget for Keep Louisiana Beautiful. If we spend a little more money on the front end, we'll save millions on the back end.
Please be brief. We will try to get to as many of you as we can. Billy Dungesser has our audience engaged. Mike in Lafayette. Mike, you're on. Good morning,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. I want to congratulate the Lieutenant Governor there for saying what he said about the dangers of Trump's conviction to the Republican Party. And I think but what Trump's going to do is he's going to play into the to his being brutalized and punished, and it's going to play into that tradition that he's always said. And I'm rambling. Thank you for hearing me out.
All right, thank you, Mike. Phil in Jefferson.
Thank you,
Terrace.
Mike.
Good morning,
good
Phil.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, I don't think the Republican Party can let Trump run the country anymore. I'm going to select somebody at the Republican convention. They'll have their own October surprise because it's just unacceptable.
All right. Well, I have a feeling that Donald Trump will get the nomination. He will be appealing his conviction. And right now, it's 50-50, and some say even better than that he will win. But Billy Nungesser, as you know, elections are won at the margins. And if 3 or 4% of the people change their votes as a result of this, that could be the difference between victory and defeat for Mr. Trump.
Well, Jim, I'll go on the limb and say something else. I wouldn't be surprised if President Biden steps aside at the Democrat convention and the governor of California steps in his place. Because if you look at the poll numbers head-to-head, with the present president struggling in the poll numbers, the governor of California, in many polling head-to-head, does a lot better than the sitting president. And so that's a thought that I've had just from my experience at the lieutenant governor's conferences,
well,
that he may step aside.
All right,
so we'll see.
We'll see. Trish in Grand Coteau, you're on, Trish.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to switch the subject. I want you to think about who was on the float this year in the Rose Parade. And please don't discount the Acadiana, Cajun Zydeco music.
All right. Well, you're a big music guy, and I know you're accenting country music, but I don't think you've neglected Zydeco music.
Absolutely not. Matter of fact, Lafayette was a partner this year. They put up a performer on the float this past year. And this year, the theme is your best night ever. And our theme is going to be Saturday night in Louisiana. From Tiger Stadium to fairs and festivals, every night is a Saturday night in Louisiana. And we have put forth a bunch of local musicians to the Rose Parade. They have to approve them. But one of the things we demand is that we put Louisiana performers on that float or we don't ride. So you'll be real impressed. We'll have a lot of great talent. And, Jim, next Sunday, I'll be in Nashville as Lainey Wilson opens her new restaurant and a book signing. I'll be having dinner with her to celebrate her new restaurant and her success. And we put her on the float 2 years ago before she was little known. And so her stardom has really brought a lot of attention to Louisiana. Right. So we're excited about that as well.
Cliff and Metairie, please be concise, Cliff.
Hi there. Hey, Mr. Nungesser, you said, I don't know if you really meant it that much, but you said people in New Orleans don't go to the French Quarter. I will agree to disagree with you. I go to the French Quarter a lot. It's still a hub of activity. I mean, of course, you're not going to go there every day because we live here, but I don't think people in the New Orleans area avoid the French Quarter.
perhaps that was a bit of hyperbole, yeah. But I do know some people who stay away, and not everybody, but some, Governor.
Yeah, they don't feel safe. You're right, Jim. It's not everybody, but it is affecting business down there.
Dan in Baton Rouge. Dan, please be brief. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Governor. Yes, Governor, is there a concern that Governor Landry's right-wing agenda will attract so-called tourists with a gun rack and a Confederate flag?
There's so much discussion over every bill that has passed that has controversy, and everybody asks me about that all the time, and we're just going to have to deal with any and all bills that are passed by the legislature to soften the blow if it is a negative effect to tourism, but we work on that every day.
All right, we'll be back to wrap it up with Billy Nungesser, and then we'll get, I'm sure, pearls of wisdom from Jim Brown about the Trump verdict, the talk of the world, after this time out on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. We're wrapping it up with Billy Nungesser, and we appreciate your participation, and hopefully we'll visit again. I'm sure we will next month with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser, Jim Brown on deck. And as we part company, a listener notes that last week we had Troy Carter, who went to O. Perry Walker, and now we've got Billy Nungesser. That high school's produced some luminaries of note in the political world. Here's one from Jackie in NOLA saying, I absolutely think the French Quarter should be carved out as a park. I think it should extend through the CBD, Canal Poydras, Claiborne should be included as it contains hotels, venues, cruise ship terminals. I'm appalled by the crime, like last week's shooting at Bayonne and Canal during a weekday. Canal Street used to be a vibrant and thriving place. My family shopped Canal Street for everything except groceries. That's from Jackie. Lieutenant Governor Nungesser, I know she's preaching to the choir, but is this a resolvable situation?
You know, I told the mayor, and when we made our proposal, that give me 3 years. And if I don't make everybody proud of the progress we make, take it back away from me. But I told them, you just got to have the passion and dedication to make it happen. And I've seen what they've done in San Diego and other cities where they had the same problems. And when they turned it over to a management group that truly cared about cleaning it up and didn't just talk about it, they made great progress. They turned the gas lamp district in San Diego around to the number one tourist attraction out there in a little over a couple years. So we can do it. We just got to put the right people in charge of doing it.
Thank you, Billy Nungesser. Good to visit with you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. And as we segue to Jim Brown, a couple of birthdays. Joe Willie Namath, the man who led the Baltimore New York Jets over the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III, January 12, 1969, Miami's Orange Bowl, 16-7 was the score. Namath, 17 of 28 for 205 yards, by the way, and a touchdown. Pedestrian stats by today's standards, but good ones in those days. And he is 81 years old. Won national titles with the Jets, or world title there, and a national title with Alabama, albeit a questionable one. And Clint Eastwood, 94 years old, the man from San Francisco, who served in the U.S. Army in 1951 through 53, albeit as a swimming instructor, but still he did his service to our country. 94 years old, and Robin Dow.
Go ahead. Make my day. Go ahead. Make my day.
All right. Jim Brown, people of our vintage, we admire Clint Eastwood. His politics were kind of crazy. And yeah, by the way, now he's a libertarian, I understand. He has segued from the Republican Party. He can't handle Trump. So he's a libertarian.
He was the mayor out there in California and served his time in public life. And I had a chance to have dinner with Clint Eastwood some years back.
You've had dinner with everybody.
He was doing a movie in New Orleans.
Tightrope, 1984. I'm looking at it.
Well, loved New Orleans. Joined a local health club. I got him into a local health club downtown, New Orleans Athletic Club. And Clint and I worked out and had dinner and quite a guy. So when I ran for governor, where I was not successful, I'd had dinner at Clint Eastwood, and someone overheard him saying, if Jim Brown got elected governor, it would make his day. So, didn't make it, Clint, but I appreciate the comment.
Well, I remember when you ran in 87, you certainly had the the entertainment crowd. Al Hurt was there for the open. It doesn't get any better than Al Hurt blowing his horn for Jim Brown, but it was a field of luminaries that we'll never see again. We had Edwin Edwards, Buddy Romer, Billy Tozan, and Bob Livingston, and Jim Brown, and Speedy Long. So it was quite a day and quite a year of 1987. And yesterday was quite a day as Donald Trump became the first former president convicted of a crime. A Manhattan jury went 34 for 34. That means 12 jurors had to vote 34 times guilty, which means it was 408 to nothing. Now, Jim Brown, as we've noted, was convicted on 1 of 53 counts. 1 out of 53, which means 52 times he heard the words, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. But you know, it only takes one.
That's right. That's right. So, Jim, on Trump, you know, I wrote a column about a month ago. I write a column for a number of newspapers. My title of my column was, Trump Has Fat Chance in New York Court. Let me read the first line to you. Let's call it like it is. Former President Donald Trump doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of being found not guilty in his current New York court case. So I wasn't surprised by the verdict. And if you just look at it, first of all, this is Act One of a 7 or 8 act play is what we're seeing out. When I looked at Trump and what happened, first of all, he did not have the home court advantage by far. You know, LSU doesn't like to go to Tuscaloosa and play because Alabama has the home court advantage.
Well,
the prosecutors had the whole court.
He's disliked in his hometown.
The jury pool, the judge that was picked with his Democratic leanings, all that together made it a hot area for Trump to walk in and deal with.
I agree with you, but I thought it was a good case, unlike Mike Johnson. Let's hear Mike Johnson, who not only denied that it was a good case, he said just the opposite, but your speaker, Mike Johnson, who denies that Trump had anything to do with Stormy Daniels. Now, the evidence was rather plausible that he did, and he did not take the stand as he said he would. And if he's never had anything to do with her, what would he have to lose? As my mama says, if you tell the truth, you got nothing to hide. You take your medicine, you go to the stand, and you say, I didn't do it. But Donald Trump didn't do it. But here's Mike Johnson on Donald Trump not taking the stand.
Well, the trial in Manhattan is just like the other that they're pursuing against him around the country. They have completely weaponized the system of justice. And the reason I gave those comments and I felt like it was important for me to go there is not as Speaker of the House so much as an individual citizen, an attorney, a former litigator myself, as an officer of the court. I'm just absolutely disgusted by what they've done to our system, because when the people begin to lose faith in the fairness of our justice system, you lose a critical component of what is necessary to keep a constitutional.
I think we've heard enough, but Speaker Johnson's defending his man, and this is the leader of the Republican Party. And a listener asked a good question, Jim Brown. Would the Republicans who are now saying this is a sham trial, would they have said the same thing if Barack Obama had been convicted in a New York court or an Illinois court, which would be analogous?
They might have, Jim, but the whole scenario has changed today with social media, with the internet, with information overload. It's just a different world today when you're tried, where Trump can make a very compelling case in his mind, where you couldn't do that. You didn't have the resources to do that some years back. And so in answer to your question, I don't know whether it was George Bush or anyone back then would have had the opportunity, both from the Democrats to prosecute him and as far as Trump himself in terms of the defense. We get so much information out there today that we didn't have in the past.
But Trump was quick to blame Joe Biden. Joe Biden has nothing to do with what happens in New York State Court. He had nothing to do with E. Jean Carroll's civil trial in which he was found liable of raping her in a department store. So Joe Biden had nothing to do with this. His son goes on, Joe Biden's son goes on trial Monday, and I suspect if there's a conviction in that case, many of these Republicans will be all over President Biden. But Bill Cassidy, that's the big surprise. He is now saying it was a terrible verdict. Here's a man who, when he had the luxury of a 6-year term, voted to impeach Trump, voted to uphold the election, but now that he's facing re-election in 2 years, our senior senator has had an epiphany. What's going on?
Well, he wouldn't have that epiphany if he were running for re-election in Pennsylvania or Michigan, California. And he's looked at the numbers, and it shows that Trump, before this trial, was very popular in Louisiana and is going to stay very popular, quite frankly, even after, as Mark Ballard's on your show a lot said in The Advocate Today, Louisiana is still going to go with Trump. So it's a question of nuances, Jim. You know, we're talking about four or five states that are going to make a difference: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And so maybe 1 or 2% shifts could make the difference. And it's a little too early to tell because, as you just said, it's the now we've got President Biden's son. And will a lot of that rub off on Biden himself? Did he have anything to do with his son getting on the board of Ukraine? All these questions are going to come up. And as you said, the Republicans are going to hop all over that. So we're in act one of a 6 or 7 act play, and we've got a long way to go.
Marianne in Lafayette. Marianne, you're on with Jim Brown.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you can hear me. I just wanted to mention, I am concerned that people do not receive, or those who might want to receive, joy from this verdict. I appreciate the Louisiana delegation headed by Mike Johnson, who really condemned this whole thing. It truly is shameful. And we have to remember, President Trump, he was created by God like all of us were.
All right, as was Joe Biden, as was Barack Obama, as was Mike Johnson. Now, the guy who was John Kerry's vice presidential running mate, Democratic nominee for vice president, John Edwards, he was tried on a similar thing. It's not like, and he was tried by the Justice Department of George Bush. And it was Michael Cohen who was convicted under the Justice Department of Donald Trump. So I don't buy this, that this is done for political purposes. They had a good case, and the DA, Alvin Bragg, when he inherited the case, Jim, from Cyrus Vance Jr., at first he passed on it, and then he said, okay, let's do it. And it, this case started in 2018, and Donald Trump, as we know through the years, has played by his own rules, and the jury on 34 counts has said 34 times that he didn't play by the right rules.
Well, let me kind of on the trial, Jim, if I can. I'm a lawyer. I've represented a number of people in criminal cases. I thought Trump's defense was very weak, and I'll tell you why. First of all, with Stormy Daniels, I mean, she was kind of sympathetic, and I don't know why Trump kept denying. I just would blow her off. I would have stipulated, so she didn't even come into the courtroom, that yes, we got together one night, and if he just would have done that,
Melania wouldn't have liked that, Jim.
Well, maybe not.
And we'll be back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WWNO, standing tall and proud on the lakefront in New Orleans, and WRKF right off College Drive in Baton Rouge. 877-217-5757. We got some folks waiting. We'll get to as many of you as we can. Jim Brown, who's a lawyer, wrote a best-selling book, Justice Denied, about his episode, and he ended up going to jail for 6 months for one count, and some might say a venial sin, of, quote, lying to the FBI, and there were never even any notes produced. It was just the word of the agent. Harry Burton, I believe, was the guy's name. And so this, I heard today, actually I heard on this station, that one of the national people saying that Donald Trump's not going to be incarcerated, he's not going to be sentenced, but I don't know. What do you think? It's up to the judge, isn't it?
It is up to the judge. I think the logistics, I think he's going to feel pressure to think of the logistics. Where do you put, you know, does he get home confinement? The White House is a pretty nice place to have home confinement. Well, actually, Mar-a-Lago might be a better place for home confinement. You put him in home confinement. How do you handle the security, special mm-hmm. agents that surround him? There's a lot of logistics in terms of him being convicted. No one's ever been convicted in New York on a similar scenario. And by the way, you keep saying 34 counts. I picked up the New York Times today, and every count's the same. Count one, related to invoice. Count two, guilty, related to invoice. Count three, related to invoice.
Well, there were different invoices.
You could make a pretty compelling argument on appeal that it was one count, one incident, and not 34 instances when people keep talking about that. So I was telling you off the air, Jim, Trump's lawyers did not serve him well. I did not think they made a compelling case. I'd have told him, look, admit you had a relationship with Stormy Daniels. Get her off the stage. Don't let her even come into the courtroom. Stipulate that, number one. And number two, they just kind of plastered Cohen, his former lawyer. Well, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Give us an alternative. The alternative for Trump is, look, I'm moving towards the White House and president. I left it to Cohen and my advisor, Wasserman, my financial advisor, to get this worked out. I just wasn't involved. But he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. He denied everything and just kept throwing mud. And it just wasn't very compelling for the New York jury, quite frankly. I don't think he was served well at all by his legal staff.
Bill Huey asked, can he vote? Can he vote in the election?
Yeah, that's a good question in New York. I've read several articles saying he can. I think once you're convicted, if he's on appeal, he can vote because the judgment is not final. If the judgment is final, I believe in New York he could not vote. In Louisiana, you can't vote if you're convicted and your appeals are over until you're off probation. So it varies state to state.
All right, let's be judicious and going to our callers. Robin steering me to Jane in Slidell. Jane, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to just react briefly to the previous comment that it didn't serve him well. President Trump's defense did not serve him well in New York. It didn't serve him well in Louisiana. I'm in Slidell, and I am baffled at the number of my fellow Louisianians who seem willing to excuse this presidential candidate of any and all misbehavior and paper over what for an ordinary citizen or an ordinary person would completely remove them from consideration or fitness for any political office. You know, the Access Hollywood tapes alone were enough to have me never, ever vote for Donald Trump. And this recent misbehavior, you know, sleeping with a woman when your wife's given birth and then covering it up and having a fixer, sorry. To me, the evidence is overwhelming, and I'm baffled why our leaders, Mike Johnson, purportedly a Christian, thinks that this is all just hunky-dory. A lot of folks in Louisiana do not, and I certainly am one of them. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jane. Let's go to Patrick in Baton Rouge. Patrick, you're on. Good morning. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I hope I get as much time as... Hey, how you doing? I hope I get as much
time. All right, well, what's your question?
My observation is, as a Trump supporter, I just haven't paid attention to a kangaroo court. Judge is leftist. His daughter is a leftist political activist. The whole jury is from New York, a bunch of left-wing city. In hush money, how is that a crime? I guess I'm trying to, it's like a personal matter. I guess that's my question. How is that a crime, paying hush money?
All right. Well, it's a crime because it was not reported properly. It was reported as a legal expense, not hush money. And perhaps the most compelling witness in the trial was David Pecker, the publisher of the National Enquirer. Now, I picked up some of the Enquirers during that presidential campaign, and it was one week after the other. Hillary on the cover. One had her at 385 pounds. I can guarantee you that she weighs a lot less than Donald Trump. If anybody has a weight problem, it's Donald Trump. But that's the kind of BS that was put on the cover of the National Enquirer. And this guy Pecker was working hand in glove with the campaign, Jim Brown.
You're right. And I make the point again. In my day, when I had my problem with the federal government, you just didn't have that dissemination of opinions. You had three TV networks and a little radio, and that was it. Where today, everybody can weigh in. And then if you look at poll after poll, the Republican-Democratic split is about even. So, and it's, when you get on the internet and accuse anybody of anything, it's just a different world we're living in today than it was 15, 20 years ago.
Rebecca in New Orleans. Hello, Rebecca. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. Born and raised New Yorker, I'm hearing a lot of people talk about, like, Trump had some disadvantage in New York because it's New York leftists or something. Trump has been a towering figure since I was a child. He has a disadvantage in New York because he acted despicably there for so long that everyone grew to hate him, including the most diehard conservatives, of which there are plenty in New York. So this is really, New York has been trying to tell you the whole time. that
okay.
this man is not to be trusted. Well, it's not really an issue of politics.
You would think he would be most popular in the place where he is best known, but that is not the case. And a listener notes, Jeffrey Toobin wrote about it in the Sunday New York Times, that there were two lawyers on that jury. Usually, as you know, Jim, both sides want to stay away from lawyers.
I want to keep the lawyers off. quite frankly, when I saw the two lawyers on there, Jim, I thought maybe there might be a little wiggle room when you talk about, was this a felony? Was it a misdemeanor? There's a lot of legal questions that will go up on appeal, and I thought that might entice one or two of those lawyers to say, well, I'm just not sure, and cause a hung jury. So I did think Trump was going to be convicted until I saw the jury. I just sat back a little bit about, would those two lawyers make any difference? And they didn't. Everybody just overwhelmingly said guilty, guilty. As far as New York, though, Trump was a New Yorker, and we've had the last three callers say what a despicable guy he was and cheating on his wife. But none of that's a crime to go into court on. I'm just responding as a lawyer. I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying that as a lawyer, you've got to follow the law, and there are some open questions. Well, that's going to give him plenty of chances for appeal.
Well, what Patrick said had some relevance in that it was not a favorable venue for Trump, but the case in Florida, which is the strongest case, the one on the documents, that's not a favorable venue for the prosecution because the judge was appointed by Trump, and it's in Florida. And I don't know if there's a jury in the Southeastern Conference, and that would include Florida and Georgia, that would convict Donald Trump of anything. Henry in Baton Rouge. Henry, good morning. Hi, Henry. Do we have Henry?
Mr. Jim, looking here, I just find it blowing me away. How can the same jury that found Mr. Jim not guilty of a conspiracy find him guilty of lying about the conspiracy they found him not guilty of?
Well, I'll answer that in my case. The FBI agent took a whole series of handwritten notes in interviewing me. I'm glad to do so, glad to cooperate. I was insurance commissioner at the time, but I never saw the notes. They kept the notes from me. I said, well, it's in the notes. Whatever the note says, I'll go along with that. I never saw the notes. The foreman of my jury, when the notes were made available 3 years later, said, this is outrageous. We would have never convicted him of that. We are shame on the prosecutors for not giving this information over, and shame on the judge. So I got some verbal vindication,
but,
I guess.
But you lost your gig. You were insurance commissioner.
Right.
You did go to a federal prison for 6 months. Can you own a gun?
No, I cannot. That's the only right that I do not have back. I cannot own a gun. So if someone breaks into my home, there's a case before the Supreme Court, by the way, right now that may change all that. And it should for a nonviolent felon.
David in Atlanta. David, please be brief.
Mr. Brown, you were a guest on a talk show in New Orleans a couple of days ago. And a few seconds before you appeared, the host of the program, the former executive director of the Louisiana Republican Party, referred to the hooligans, murderers, thugs, anti-racists, or anti-Semitic racists in Washington as patriots. And you were very complimentary of that talk host.
All right. Well, I think I know who you're talking about. But should those I think the story yesterday by a listener was that Mike Johnson is, at least at this point, not endorsed photos on the wall at the Capitol of the police officers who gave life and limb for protection on January 6th of other people. Why is there this discussion that continues about whether that was an insurrection? It would seem to have all the markings of an uprising.
Well, it did, and it would have not been an issue 15, 20 years ago. But again, we are so, you got a great show like this, Jim, with you being neutral. Most of the newspapers are fairly evenly balanced, I would say. The Advocate here in Baton Rouge and the other newspapers. But boy, you can just disregard all that. People aren't reading newspapers as much anymore. They're going to the internet, and people can say anything they want on the internet. So it's just a different world. It's very confusing. And I've got a number of friends in Baton Rouge that say, Jim, we don't read the newspaper. We just tune out because you just can't trust what you see.
All right.
So it's a whole different world.
We have different perceptions, that's for sure. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for listening. Back next week, same time, same place. Stay safe and stay tuned.